Welcome back to another episode of the Pickup Music Pod, where we help you improve your guitar skills. Today, Sam and I are live in the studio with a very special guest,
hey.
Molly Miller. So if you caught the last Caged episode with Molly, you know that she has toured the world with people like Jason Mraz, Black Eyed Peas. She's one of the most sought after guitarists in LA.
You sound cooler than I am.
She's a passionate educator. Besides being one of the most popular teachers here at Pickup, she's also now teaching guitar at USC as a professor. But what you might not know is that Molly and I have been friends and guitar colleagues for over 10 years now.
I know. What is it, like 12, 13 years?
Yeah, it might even be 12.
We're really young. Don't worry.
We went to USC together.
Yeah.
And Molly is actually the one that recommended me for this job here at Pickup. Hey. So in front of the masses, in front of everyone, I just want to say personal thank you to you for all that you've done for me over the years.
Like, it makes me so happy that two of my friends make so much sense working together.
Yeah. So thank you for everything, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for being wonderful and making me look good, because I'm like, yeah, I have cool friends. Check it out, Sam.
So yeah, I was hoping that we could talk about your new album coming out today.
Woo.
We thought we'd pick your brain about it a little bit and hopefully provide our listeners with some insight into like your creative process, the technical process, the promotional process. I don't know, like all those things that go into it, because even, and for me too, like I've never properly released music. So I'm always kind of curious, like, how do you do this?
God,
you know?
Yeah. It sucks. There's no right way to do it. like the part that's really fun is the creative process and the recording process. And you're like, oh my God, I have to put the music out.
Right.
And it feels more so now than ever, just like the Wild West of like, yeah, because I picked so many people's brains, because I feel the same way of like, how do I like, this is technically my third record I'm putting out, but it's like PR. Should I get a PR person? Do I need someone to help me book an agent, a manager? Should I do radio? Where should I put my energy, my time, my money? And you talk to everyone and they say something different.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the kind of a relieving part in a weird way, but also a really stressful part where someone's going to be like, don't waste your money on PR. And someone's going to be like, there's no way you can release a record without PR support.
Yeah.
Like, and that is the answer for every single thing that I have a question on or had a question on, you know, of like, should I do radio? Someone's like, what a waste of money. Someone else is like, for sure, for your music, you definitely should. You know, it's just like, God, so you just kind of have to go with your gut for all that stuff. And that's my long intro response. Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, so let's take a step back though. So in your first trio record was the Shabby Road recordings in 2017.
That sounds right, yeah.
Which was mostly covers,
it was
right?
All covers.
All
it was,
covers.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So there is an evolution for sure, because that was very casual.
Your second record was St. George,
yes,
released in 2021, which was mostly originals.
All originals.
All originals, okay.
Hey.
And this next album is called The Ballad of Hotspur.
Yes.
And at the time of this recording, there's only one song out called Cine.
Cinematic. Cine.
Okay. So just give us an overview of this new album.
Mm-hmm.
When is it coming out? What's it about? Who's on it? And like, what are you excited about for people to hear?
Just to put the damn record out. That's what I'm excited about. So it, first single came out January 11th. The next single is out, which will be out February 22nd. So it's 111-222.
Okay.
The third single is out 4-4. So it's a lot of these, like, I kind of like the numbers that worked out naturally.
Cool.
And the record finally comes out May 3rd.
May 3rd,
my little sister's birthday. I'm sorry, I'm flopping it on her birthday, but I am. I'm just excited to have the music out. So I recorded it last year with Jen and Jay. Yeah, so Jennifer Condos and Jay Bellarose, that's my trio. And I will like put out videos and do shows sometimes with other people because, you know, they're working musicians and sometimes they can't make a show. But the trio is me with Jennifer Condos and Jay Bellarose, and we recorded all the music, and all the music is written by me or me and Jen, but also like, I really feel like it's the trio, you know, like even on the record, I write all songs composed by Molly Miller Trio, because like, sometimes I come in with an idea. Let's say even I have like a completed song. A lot of the songs were written by Jen and I together. And I'll get into that, but like, and maybe I'll just say that now, like the process often is like, I'll write a section or Jen will write a section, and then we put it together. And like, you know, we'll email each other. And some, a lot of it was written during COVID. So mm-hmm. it was like virtual co-writes.
For this album or just mm-hmm. in general?
This album.
Okay.
The last record. Yeah. Yeah. This is record. A lot of it was like virtual co-writes where Jen will send me something and then I'll finish it and send it back to her. But oftentimes maybe we'll like record to Jay's drums. Like Jay's drums will be the inspiration. Cool. He'll just like pre-record a bunch of stuff with Jen. They're a couple. So they have a lot of musical intertwinement or whatever, you know? But then always what happens is the song becomes a full song when the three of us get into a room and we finish arranging and finish with parts and a lot of the nuances. Yeah, because even if sometimes like on the extreme end, like I'll come in with a completely realized song with the idea of how I want to arrange it. But always things shift when we're in the room together rehearsing. And yeah, I'll just go to Jen and Jay's house and we rehearse and work through songs and make them like a coherent statement story, where there's lots of nuances. Oftentimes there's solo and improvisatory moments. But yeah, so that was like a COVID. It was like written during COVID, and once we got in the same room and actually were able to play all these songs that we had been like writing and working on, it was just magical. Like moment, and also like scary. You know, I was like, how do I play with Jen and Jay again? I haven't played with them in like a year. This is scary. But yeah, we recorded it last year at Ballantine Studio, which is in like Valley Village, over in the Valley near NoHo. Over by there. And it's a cool space. It's like a time capsule. I forget the exact year, but it like closed in like 1969, I think, because they didn't want to record rock and roll bands. So it just like shut down in the 60s, I want to say, maybe the 70s. And then they reopened a few years ago, and feel like you're in a time capsule, because it's like crushed velvet walls and like shag carpet and like, nice. It's such a vibe. So we spent 2 days there, recorded everything live. We did a couple overdubs of Jay's percussion, but the goal, we worked with Jason Warmer, who's an amazing engineer. He works a ton with T-Bone Burnett, and he's a guitar player. So we can get into all like the nerdy stuff of how we recorded it. Yeah. And it was so much fun. We spent 2 days and the goal was just to, how we perform live, to capture that.
Right. And so you had how much rehearsal leading up to those 2 days of session?
It's funny, I feel like we are a well-oiled machine is like always the goal. You have to like play a bunch, and just like once we play a song out a few times, like it's like, okay, we got the song down, you know.
Or is rehearsal at Perch your weekly gig? Is that kind of like
well, Jay's not on that gig. I have a weekly gig in downtown.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jay's not on it. He'll sub it. Yeah. But yeah, normally we'll rehearse. We don't rehearse that much. It depends. Like sometimes like we'll rehearse a couple times in a week because we're working on a bunch of new stuff. And sometimes we don't rehearse for months because we're gigging and we like work stuff out on the gig. Yeah, we're not working through new tunes. We had like a bunch of gigs before that. And so I'm trying to remember, I think we probably got together once or twice leading up to it just to tighten up a few things. But normally we rehearse a song. We'll like do a couple songs. We'll do batches. We'll like learn a couple new songs, 2-3 new songs, work on them, make them feel good for a couple months, a month, whatever. Depends how much we're playing and how many shows we have. And then add some new songs. Yeah, I try to always keep it fresh. We have a very large repertoire at this point.
Yeah.
We've been playing together for like 9 years.
Well, so that leads me into this next question. Then I'll open it up to both of you. This trio format, this is your third trio record.
Yeah.
So you obviously must really love playing guitar trio,
which
for those listening, if you don't know, is guitar, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
Not three guitars.
Not three guitars.
Damn, I thought the three of us were going to start a band right now, guitar trio.
So, what do you love about that format? And are there any specific influences or groups that you that you draw from or have drawn from in the past or anything?
Yeah, I love trio playing so much. And it's funny, it kind of started maybe back in our time at USC. Frank Potenza had a trio class. We were probably in a trio class together.
Yeah, probably.
You know? And that was a class where you'd go up and bring a chart and play trio with a bassist and a drummer and just play tunes.
Yeah.
I love it because there's so much space. Everyone has a voice. And like, not to say that there's like not space and nuance that happens in a large band, but the space I love. Everyone has so much room too and influence. So yeah, I love the trio space. Influences, it's like funny because I feel like influences for the band are not necessarily like bass drum guitar trios. Sure. Yeah. Always like, sometimes we look at Dave Brubeck or Booker T and the MGs. Mickey Baker, someone I listened to a lot leading into it. So it's like definitely some guitar stuff, but not exclusively. Like we like quote Duke Ellington in one of our tunes. You know, it's like for sure eclectic. Oh yeah, PJ Harvey J references. You know, it's like it's kind of all over the place and reference wise. But I love the trio. I love the trio space because there's just room.
Yeah.
And especially with Jen and Jay, it's really fun to like work on music with specific musicians in mind. And like, we've been playing together so much. It feels like it's just, there's so much ease. It's like, yeah, with the three of us.
I had a question. How do you prepare for a recording session? Mm. Because it's live, right?
Yes.
Which is part of, I don't know, jazz or types of music. So like, what is, let's say like the month or week or day before, like how do you get in the zone or are you always ready to go because you play and practice so much? It's part of who you are that you could drop a hit single at any point.
I mean, sure. The goal is that, but I just try to practice a lot and like play a lot of guitar. Like I remember I had a week a couple months ago where I had like 7 gigs in like a week or something, which like I used to gig like that, but I don't as much anymore. And I was like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm in peak performance or whatever. Cause I've just like play a lot. So I want to play a lot, but I also don't want to be tired. So the night before I won't do a gig, but leading into it, I want to be spending at least, a couple hours just playing. And also a big part of my practice session for something like that would be working on the songs and thinking about, I like to say the character of the song or and especially the improvisation part, but I'll record myself just doing solo guitar with a metronome to try to find like the BPM that really feels right. And I record it and listen back because when I go in, I want to I think about now, the solo moment in particular, the solo moments, to have options when I'm moving and clarity and sometimes ideas of the arc of what I want to do, how I want to start, where I want to lead to. So I like to kind of work things out in that way too. So one part is just feeling like I'm very physically fluent. So working on time stuff, working with a metronome, and now I'm really into working on some different Bach pieces and stuff, just to have fluency on my instrument and feel connected, practicing sight reading, just kind of nerding out, practicing a bunch. But also a big part is working on the different songs, which is metronome recording, listening back and being like, is that clear? Am I overplaying? What's the habit that I'm doing? Like, do I rush a lot in the song? Am I being redundant? So kind of listening back and sorting just to be like, what do I dig? What do I not dig about what I'm doing? What should I lean into more?
We've talked a little bit about the leading up to it and maybe let's nerd out for just a second on gear and how you recorded it and stuff, or maybe how that's evolved. Cause I'm kind of in listening and brushing up on your material for this podcast. I gave all three albums a listen here and there. And there's a sonic difference to imprint that's noticeable on each of them. So how has the actual recording process changed for you?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. So first record, Jen was like, you need a record. So I'd go to her, Jen and Jay's house, and we just put up microphones and eat bread and cheese and record a song and be like, chill. I just use the amp at their house. I'd bring over a guitar or two and my pedal board. It wasn't we'd honestly be like, well, what do you want to record today? Well, let's work on this song. Let's do this thing that we've been playing. Sure. Yeah. It was very casual. Next record was at United with Mike Persanti. God. And he's amazing too. But it was still felt like I had a pedal board. I brought two amps. I think we just used one. It wasn't as adventurous sonically. Cause I think I wasn't as sure per se of what I wanted sonically. I feel like it was still a little safer. And this next record I'm very excited about because we had two amps with two totally different pedal boards, and we blended those two sounds.
Yeah. So in that that new song Cine, I think you're using some modulation maybe, or
yes,
there, and it sounds very expansive. Like it sounds like maybe you're using two mics or blending or something.
Good ears.
Like that.
I think we're using four mics. So like two mics, wow. Four mics, two amps.
Okay.
Two pedal boards.
Wow.
So what we did was one guitar, and then I had a pedal board that is like my pedal board in front of me that went to my amp. And then we had Jason Warmer brought his pedal board that we, you know, my guitar also plugged into through just like a splitter, mm-hmm, that went into a separate amp.
Right.
So we could do two different sounds and blend them together.
Very cool.
Which made it, I think, sound so much bigger.
Yeah.
And also like, I wasn't as scared because everything's live. It's like whatever sound I record, that's the sound of the instrument. You know, I can't go back and be like, oh, actually like let's reamp it and do this and that. Like it's, that is not what the record or the music's about. It's about like really capturing a live moment.
And that really hasn't changed from the bedroom recordings, yeah, that you guys were doing, or the, yeah, living room or whatever
living
you
room
guys were in. So that's cool. Like the Molly Miller Trio kind of has that foundation as, yeah, like your approach.
That's for sure. I mean, like it's fun to do records where you're like layering guitars and like in a studio, but that's just not the Trio.
That's not what this is.
No, yeah. My Trio is like live.
Right.
You know, it's like
scary.
Yeah, but I love it so much, you know, because, yeah, it is scary. But I think something I'm drawn to playing guitar is like the hyper presence of a moment.
Yeah.
And accepting all the flaws, except and like kind of loving whatever the reflection is. Like I'm not into, I mean, I think probably all of us, it's like this like idea of like a perfect recording is not true. And it also is like sterile. Like my favorite music is raw and out of tune, and like they the end of the recording's 10 BPM faster than the they start, you know, like all that kind of stuff. So I love doing that with Jen and Jay, and they definitely come from that school of like being hyper present to a moment, and that's the reflection of that's the piece. Like it's like a picture, you know?
Yeah.
And like sure, we can retouch it a little bit with like EQ and tighten some things up, but ultimately like that is what it is.
Yeah. Very cool. So one thing I wanted to ask you about too, that maybe our listeners can also identify with, is this idea that people tell you all the time, like you need to play with more experienced players.
Mm, for sure.
And so you're playing with Jay Bellerose and Jen Kondo. So
yep.
Jay is like one of the like top call, like hippest, like he just did that record with like Alison Krauss and Robert Plant. And like,
he's going out with him again this summer.
Yeah. And you know, Jen's played with like Bruce Springsteen and like Stevie Nicks and like whatever.
Yeah.
So how did you know, because I know you've been playing with him for a long time. So when 10 years ago, before you were Dr. Molly Miller, as we know you today, like how did you kind of approach them? Like, was it like, you're friends with them first or?
Yeah. Like I think I always say this, like everything that's happened in my life that I like and am proud of is super organic. Like it wasn't like I like, you know, sent them an email and was like, hello, I'm Molly Miller and I'd love to hire you for a gig. You yeah. know, it's like
slipped in the DMs.
I did no DMs. They're anti-social media. You know, there was no right. yeah, awkward DM slipping or anything. But yeah, so we have mutual friends, like my little through, we have a couple different mutual friends. My little brother being one of them, and Lynn Earl is also a wonderful engineer being another person.
Okay. Okay.
And what happened was I was playing at this time Casa Del Mar. I was gigging at the hotel sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I started getting hired to like book trios there, like my trio, you know, I like once, whatever, like maybe once a month, once every couple of weeks, being like, okay, Molly, put your trio together and play background music for 3 hours. Which was very, very exciting for me at 24, I guess, 23, whatever it was. And I needed a bass player. I was going to play with Sammy. And so the first one was like, I asked Jen. Sammy was like, why don't you ask Jen? You know, because like Sammy knew her too. It like, wasn't that scary. And I had met her yeah. and she is just so sweet.
Yeah.
Like my first interaction with her was really lovely. And we had, I don't know if she even knows this. We like emailed a bit and she was so loving. And I was like, okay, Jen's not scary. And I think maybe I'd even gone over there to jam too before mm-hmm. with Jen. Cause she's always like, let's write, let's jam. Like that's like her vibe. And so I asked Jen to do the gig and I went over to their house to rehearse some songs, like me, Sammy, my brother and Jen. And Jay, and we were playing What's Going On.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. Someone just texted me for a chart of that song, weirdly enough, like half an hour ago. And Jay, like, came out and started playing percussion.
Whoa.
Like, he, like, came out of his cave and, like, started playing percussion on the song. And I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Wow. They're really good. This is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was super fun. And like, she had a good time. We had a great time. And then when Sammy went back to New York, like I'd start asking Jay to do that gig. Yeah. So the three of us would then start doing just like whenever they were in town and I had the opportunity to hire them, I would, because I loved playing with them.
Right.
And like you're saying, they're like, they're so deep, you know, they've been doing this for a long time in a lot of different situations. So I've learned and continue to learn so much from them mm-hmm. about how to play music and how to live, really. Like, they're like definitely big mentors of mine and really close friends, but it just so gradually evolved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the takeaway maybe is like, you know, don't like just surround yourself with, try to surround yourself with people that you want to be like, I guess, right? And then just don't be afraid to like invite them into your world.
Yeah. And I even like say that to students now. Like one of my students just like had like a weekly gig and I was like, just ask people, like people want to play, like especially if it's not like, like what can I get from you? Like I think if it's like, hey, like I have something to give you, would you like be interested in participating?
Like a gig.
Can I take you out to, like, even like I say this, like if someone like wants to pick someone's brain, like to be like, hey, can I buy you coffee?
Yeah.
Or hey, can I get you a lunch? Hey, can I give you a gig that is not a junk gig and, you know, just be around you and pick your brain a bit and learn from you musically or whatever. Like, and it wasn't like that even consciously, like I'm going to have a trio with Jen and Jay. It just supernaturally happened. Mm-hmm. And I pinch myself because I feel so lucky to play with these super deep, wonderful musicians that are like such dear friends. You know, like Jen and I see each other every Monday. And if like we don't, even that feels like a long time. Now I'm used to seeing, especially Jen, but Jay too, like at least once a week, you know, twice a week.
Yeah.
And so multiple times. Yeah. Like we had a gig Sunday. I saw Jen Monday. We're playing on Wednesday. I'm going to go to another gig of theirs this week. So like they've become a big part of my life. And I feel really lucky because, I get to be around like people who are also musical heroes that inspire me.
Right.
Yeah. And how they've led their life, you know, the choices they've made. Mm-hmm.
My big question, which I think we are at that stage in the episode, is just how do you get it out? Because, you know, speaking from experience, someone who's never released an album has done some songs. It's so easy to just sit on songs.
Oh my God.
Get two or three, but it's such an achievement just to put a body of work out there. And you've done that three albums now, three times. So I'm just interested to hear how you find the motivation to do that. And then I guess the context is it's never been easier, right, to release an album, to put it out on Spotify, but also, you know, it's still hard to do. So I'm really fascinated on how you find the drive to do it.
I think I'm lucky that I play a lot out, and it's like I want to do something with it and like mark a moment. Mm-hmm. And Jen and Jay are also like helpful and encouraging too. In like the recording part's easy. It's like I book a studio, I find 2 days that we're around and I book it. And we record songs that we've been playing for months and we're super comfortable with. So that part's easy and fun because we always go deeper in those moments where it's like these decisions are going to be recorded. How do we really want them recorded?
Yeah.
But the putting out is the part that sucks. Like I sat on the record for a year because I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to release it through this person or maybe I'm going to do this. I was like, so just like dragging my feet and busy with life as we get. And then I was going to put it out but I'm putting it out on Jason Mraz's label so, which is also really nice to just have a little extra help. But yeah, the decisions around it were really hard. And the drive is just like, I feel like, how can I not? I have this amazing like gift of having a bunch of original music and working out music and having songs with Jen and Jay. I would never forgive myself if I didn't. It's almost like that part's like not a choice. It's just the decisions or the little decisions of like, what PR person, like that get overwhelming. But I'm also fortunate that I have a ton of musicians in the music industry that I can pick their brains and they kind of, I listen to the things that resonate and ignore the things that don't resonate with me.
And you're going to be opening for Jason Mraz.
Yes. I'm waiting for the exact date, but I think I'm starting July 16th through 17th, opening for him. So I'll be opening, the trio will be opening, not with Jen and Jay. I'll be with Tamir Barzilai and Andre De Santana, who also play with Jason. So the trio will open the set And then Jason plays. We get double headers those nights. I'm super excited.
That's amazing.
I know. I've done it a few times before, but it'll be nice for like a full, whatever, like 4 weeks doing it.
And those are probably like big festivals or no, not a festival, but I mean, it's like a concert hall.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well,
like,
we're doing amphitheaters, I assume. Like, yeah. So yeah.
The playing trio for like in an amphitheater. Oh, that must be amazing.
Yes. It's so fun. I mean, it is like as people are walking in and finding their seats and drinking beer and catching with friends, but also I don't give a damn. I'm so excited. Yeah. It'll be so fun. Yeah. Yeah, like it's going to be a ton of people, more people than are normally at my gigs. So yeah. It's great. I'm really excited for the opportunity. Yeah.
That's great. Well, any final like advice or tips for guitarists that are thinking of releasing instrumental music in 2024?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I say it to myself too. It's like, just do it. Don't be afraid. And also talking to people who have been doing it a lot longer than me is helpful. I reached out to like Adam Levy and Jeff Parker, who are both like amazing guitarists that put music out that are, you know, older than me and have done more than me. So like talking to those people and realizing like there's actually just like not one right way and more so just doing it is the right way. And the more you do it, the more you learn like, oh, I do want to do that. That was stupid. Like I have plenty of things I did on the last two records where I was like, that was stupid. And I'm sure I'll have that for this too. But like, I don't know. That's kind of like what life is. Like you try and you keep the things that work and you try to get rid of the things that don't work.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for us today. Thank you, Molly, for being here. Thank you, Sam. As always, it's a pleasure. So we'll have links in the description for where to find Molly, where to find her music, to listen to the new album, all that great stuff. And thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for having me.